want to thank all of you for being here. I want to thank First Press for giving me this opportunity to participate in this conference. I'm humbled to be in the midst of so many people who've come to hear about slavery. Back home, we have to beg churches to listen to us. I'm also humbled because I don't think I can really express the suffering of the millions of people in slavery today. I'm really also grateful to Pastor Mark Labberton. When he extended this invitation, he was very kind. And he changed my view of worship when I read his book, The Dangerous Act of Worship. I believe this conference is a worship unto God, and we will walk away with a better understanding of things that matter most to God. There are many aspects of global slavery and the plague of poverty, but there is one key underlying element, and that is power. I have met slaves who are complete human beings like you and me, but they are powerless. I have seen heads of families who are powerless to protect their wives and children being slapped by owners. I have spoken to mothers who are powerless to leave their work and nurse their hungry babies. These people suffer from absolute powerlessness over their own lives. On the other side of the power equation, I have seen owners who reign over the families they enslave with terror and fear. I have watched government officials who have the power to free slaves by simply signing a piece of paper, but they choose not to. And I also know the power that God's people have to bring comfort and rest to slaves by rescuing them, providing hope and power through the Spirit. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. He has given unto us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind. Today, as I uncover slavery, I hope to answer three questions. Can God really empathize with a slave? What is the relationship between slavery and poverty? Can slavery be eradicated in our generation? The first question, can God really empathize with a slave? What are we passionate about? I am passionate about injustices that have occurred to me. As a child, I grew up in a traditional Indian family where boys are treated better than girls. Any food that is served would be first served to my brother and the leftovers to the three of our sisters. My parents treated us equally, but not my grandparents. So as I grew up, I was moved to tell families that they must treat all their children equally. Because I suffered the injustice of inequality, I was passionate to ensure the same injustice did not happen to others. Think with me for a while. A child who's sexually abused is very passionate about fighting against the abuse of others. This child may fight to protect other children from being victimized and hates sexual abuse because he, she knows the pain, the hurt, the nakedness that abuse brings. Consider God, the creator of this entire universe, who created man in his own image, was so pleased with what he made, he called his creation good. It was good until sin came into the world and separated man from God. And God, unable to bear what happened to man, humbled himself, emptied himself, became vulnerable, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, whose face you couldn't bear to see. Jesus, the Son of God, was stripped naked, lashed, spat upon, ridiculed, challenged to free himself, and ultimately killed. God, the all-powerful, all-knowing, experienced the same pain of powerlessness the most slaves experience today. God hurts with the slaves. He was treated like one. In Luke 4 and 18, Jesus reads out his mission on earth. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed. These are not empty words. God fully understood each word. When he says he has come to preach good news to the poor, to release the oppressed, to bring freedom for the prisoner, he speaks as one who was poor, oppressed, and in prison. In God's heart for these powerless men and women, we see a personal experience translated into passion, and Jesus proclaims freedom. Now, to understand freedom, let me talk to you what absence of freedom is, especially for a slave. Webster's Dictionary defines slave as a person who is held in bondage to another. Black's Law Dictionary defines slavery as a situation in which one person has absolute power over the life, fortune, and liberty of another. Absolute power. The International Labour Organization defines slavery as one form of forced labour. It involves absolute control of one person over another, or perhaps one group of persons by another social group. Absolute control. When I think of absolute control, the story that is so close to my heart is the story of Mariamma. Her blank, expressionless face spoke out and told me, she said, "I'd rather get killed escaping than rise another day in that brick kiln." Mariamma and her family owned a small piece of land. They were farmers living happily until drought broke, until drought struck. Without rain, without crops, without any money to eat, the family turned to a relative for help. This relative introduced Mariamma and her family to a brick kiln owner. In the beginning, the brick kiln owner offered them a job. He gave them little money and said that they could cover up all the debts that they had accrued during the drought. And they could work there, and he would provide them food and he would provide them food and shelter. The first week was fine, but soon Mariamma realized there was something wrong. There was a barbed wire all across the compound, and the gates would be locked every single day. They worked night and day. You know, in a brick kiln, you start work at 12 in the night until sunrise, because the bricks have to be ready when the sun comes out. And so you use the whole day of sunshine to dry the bricks. And then by night, you pick up the bricks and you stack them up for fire. And so this cycle continues, and they work long, long, long hours every day. In the sun, without sleep, without being able to feed your children, without eating, and eating only when the owner decides when you should eat. Now, Mariamma did not muster the courage to run away at this point, because her owner was a very powerful, influential man. He was considered as a holy man. He wore saffron clothes, and he was building a temple for the local area. And it was to this temple that he took Mariamma and the women one day. He said that they were going to clean the temple, and their lives changed. It was to this temple that he would take them, and the women would be raped. The owner even brought his son along and his son's friends along, and he would rape them. Whenever the owner said the temple, the women knew what was coming. When Mariamma spoke to me, she said, We dreaded the evenings because it was in the evening that he would call us out. They kept the secret from the men, but not for long, because the owner became bold and he started being open about his crimes. And when the men retaliated, he stripped them all naked in front of everybody, took pictures, and he used to use it to threaten them, saying, "This will be your consequences," and he would beat them up in front of the women and children. And so finally, Mariam and her family could bear it no longer, and they decided that it would be better for them to be killed escaping than to remain in that brick kiln. When Mariamma narrated her story to me, I was outraged. Mariamma's owner abused his power to take from her what God intended for her life. Her liberty, her dignity, the fruit of her love and her labor, just like Jaime said. And when the strong abuse their power to oppress the weak, God calls this a sin, the sin of injustice. Our empathetic God still sees the tears of the oppressed. He hears the cries of the suffering. He hates injustices of slavery. He wants to restore and remove the spirit of fear and give them the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and a sound mind. It may seem that Mariamma's poverty drove her to slavery. And so I want to come to my second point, which says, what is the relationship between slavery and poverty? I've been working with IGM for 5 years now, and one of the perceptions that I had was that poverty was the cause of slavery. As I interacted with victims of slavery, I realized they were not all poor. Many of them owned homes, pieces of land, were educated till high school, had jobs that paid them above minimum wage. How and why did they get into this situation of slavery? It started when sudden, unforeseen circumstances placed them in situations where they needed money. When their child was sick, their daughter's wedding, drought, to build a home. Most of them did not have a legal source to borrow from. And so they accepted the offer they got from the owners. The owners, on the other hand, aware that men and women they offer loans to do not have other viable options, take advantage of those who are desperate and draw them into work. It is frequently only after people come to work for the owners do they realize they were deceived as working as slaves. Once trapped in slavery, it is nearly impossible to get out. Some people wonder if these slaves could ever repay the loan, or did they believe they could repay the loan. In our casework, I have seen slaves, if they were paid the minimum wage or the fair wages, could have easily paid back their loans. However, the slaves are paid pitiful wages and barely able to survive from what they make. And not only that, they're not allowed to work anywhere else. They have to work only for this one slave owner and pay back the debt. I understand now that poverty is one of the factors that lead to slavery, but it is not always the cause. The poor are vulnerable, and especially vulnerable to those with power who intentionally prey on them in their hour of need. Even in Mariamma's case, she needed employment to earn and sustain herself during a dry season. She thought she was taking a loan and a job that would help her family survive, but she was tricked into slavery. On the side of the slave is powerlessness, and on the side of those with power is financial power. They give loans and make huge profits out of slavery. They have physical power, where they physically and sexually abuse at will. Political power, they use the public justice systems to bend and protect their crimes. They have the social power, where they use caste systems, customs to subdue and treat fellow human beings as non-entities. I'm now going to show you two videos that demonstrate the way the powerful prey on the vulnerable poor and trick them into slavery. The first one is Vatsala, whom we rescued in 2005 from a rice mill. And the second one is her owner speaking about how he keeps and runs his business. It may not be very clear because there's too much light, but if you can try and read what's written down.
ఏలేలం పుడిచిల్తారా
ఏలేలం పుడిచిస్తారు ఆ
ఉంగ కైల కుడతారా
కైల వేస్తారు
సరే
కైల వేసిన సోల్ సోల్
ఆరు సింజేది అబ్బి
పెరుగురు
పెరుగురు పేర్ల పేరు
మోలర్ కన్సర్ మోలర్
ఆ
ఇది గండి వేరే తెచ్చి అడ్చి పోడ్రో ఉన్న నాలుగు పేరు వేసి కై తట్టనదా నేను సుచ్చి కడుతుంది ఆలుగదా
Graphics were not very clear, but basically three things that she says are that the owner gave her 500 rupees to sexually harass her. They suffered inside, especially when they couldn't take their children to a hospital when they were sick. And thirdly, he would beat up and threaten her husband if he ever tried to, you know, protect her or even try to escape. And this is the owner that she's talking about.
பகிரா அது மாதிரி கடன் ஏறிக்கினே போகுது
அப்புறம் எப்படி கொடுப்பாங்க அவங்க
கொடுக்கிட்டேன்னு மண்ணாங்க கட்டி அவ்வளவுதான் அவன் கிழமை வேச்சு என்ன போதும் நம்முடைய கடனை பத்தி காதல் இல்ல நான் சொல்றது புரியுதா அவனுடைய ஒரு தெம்புக்காக தான் நம்ம வந்து செய்தா தானே இங்க வேலை 25 வருஷமா செய்யறோம்
அப்படி என்னது இவ்வளோ இவ்வளோ கடன் வச்சுட்டு
என்ன பண்ணிட்டியா வேற வழி வேற வழி
அவங்க குடும்பம் போயிட்டா
கொடுக்காத விட மாட்டோம் வேற குறைய நந்தினு வந்து ஒத்தனா ஏமாத்து போய்கிறான்ப்பா
This man is old, but when we rescued victims from his rice mill, they were there for over 25 years. Many of them had died, and we rescued their children and their grandchildren from this rice mill. Just before coming on 7th, I stood in the court to testify against him, and I'm going to do it again on 10th. You know, the judge feels so sad looking at him because he's old. But at the raid, when the RDO asked the women, she said, are you talking about this old man sexually harassing you? Are you not talking about the grandson and the son? And all the women started yelling like, no, it's this man, this old man. You know, it really gets me angry when I see that. I'm so sorry. And you know, we have rescued many who are not poor. But their oppressors had power on their side. This man, after we raided him, he bought the police and he bought the justice system and got convicted for nothing. Just a day, a single day and a fine of 2,000 rupees. And so he went back and enslaved more people. And this case that I'm testifying against is the second case. When we got him once more, rescued people, and we have a much stronger case because we can prove now that he's habitually dealing in slaves and he will get a better sentence. Mariamma taught me something that day when she toppled the power equation. Mariamma changed the power equation when she spoke up before the officials and exposed her shame of being raped, and that truth, when spoken out, gave courage to other men and women who then came out with their stories, and 11 people were rescued on that day. the government official released them and gave them a certificate that declared that they no longer needed to work for the owner, and they were free. The power was restored to the victims through Mariamma's bold testimony and the government's action. Mariamma is a remarkable person. You can see her there. Okay. She learned to deal with her past horrors, and aftercare staff worked with her family to rebuild their lives and allow restoration to take its course. Today, is Mariamma poor? Is Mariamma poor today? Yes. She continues to be poor by the world's standards, but she is free, able to survive, ready to testify against her perpetrator, no longer fearing his power, and she will not be deceived again. Slavery is a way to gain profit, influence, experience power, and it exists with impunity because no one will hold them accountable for their crimes. Can slavery be eradicated in our generation? I want to move on to the last part. Many organizations have attempted to quantify the staggering numbers of slaves living in bondage throughout the world today. Though the numbers of these organizations vary, the consensus is the same. Slavery is widespread, brutal reality in a modern world. National Geographic reported an estimate made by Free the Slaves that 27 million people worldwide are bought and sold and held captive. Roughly two-thirds of these slaves, 15 to 20 million, are bonded in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Nepal. The American Anti-Slavery Group has reported that India, the world's largest democracy, may also be home to more slaves than all other countries of the world combined, as many as 15 million people enslaved within its borders. Regardless of the precise number of slaves existing in India, today, statistics call out for an answer. Extreme efforts must be exerted to combat this inhumane criminal problem until the presence of slavery is relegated to a footnote in India's history. With estimates of forced laborers in India today in millions, and we've been saying this yesterday and today, it is easy to be shocked, overcome, and simply choose despair and resignation. As Christians, how should we react to such injustice? I believe the Bible tells us the proper reaction to injustice is not despair and resignation, but exactly the opposite, hope and action. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Behold, I saw the tears of the oppressed. They have no one to comfort them. But on the side of the oppressor was power." Are we willing to be on the side of the oppressed to bring comfort and power to them? In Psalm 9, 7 to 10, "But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world with righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord will also be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know my name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." You know, as I hear stories and stories about people we rescue, in the beginning I was surprised, but now I'm not surprised. Every time we rescue someone and we talk to them, you know what I've heard from most of the cases? They cried out to God, and within a week, IJM showed up. You know, that used to send like chills down my spine. And God taught me that I am not here to do anything. He is already in those places. He's already gone there. He's heard their cries. So many people I've spoken to have told me that. If we are thinking we're going to start this whole campaign, I'm sorry, God is already there. We're either going to be blessed being a part of it, or we can return home and continue to indulge in ourselves. And even if we want to help, how do we deal with this reality that the poor will always be there? How do we deal with the reality that anyone may join the poor in a moment through injustice or accident or simply lack of rain? Obviously, one response is relief. But in cases of injustice like slavery, the power needs to be shifted to the rightful place. The poor can remain poor without being abused and enslaved. In the past, we have seen Great Britain and US fight and end slavery. Their struggle was to bring in a legislation that would abolish slavery. And we celebrated William Wilberforce, who attempted and succeeded to bring in a legislation that abolished slavery 200 years ago. Today in India, legislation against slavery exists. There are great laws. We don't need any more laws. What we need is that the public justice system works for the poor. Let me show you what I mean in this video. The public justice system that should work for the poor is actually working for the oppressors and the slave owners.
அஞ்சு பேர் அங்க வச்சுட்டு அவன் அஞ்சு பேர் நைட்டு எஸ்கேப் ஆயிட்டாங்க. நம்ம ஆட்கள் தூங்கிட்டு இருந்தாங்க, நான் ஊருக்கு போயிருந்தேன். இவங்க சொன்னாங்க இன்னும் ஆள் தேவைப்படும் அப்படின்ட்டு. சரி, நான் அங்க போய் ஆள் செட் பண்ணிட்டு வர்றதுக்கு முன்ன எனக்கு அவனை தெரியும் மூஞ்சி தெரியும்.
இங்க
எப்படிங்க சார் நீங்க
இல்ல ஈக ಪೊಲೀಸ್ ಡೈರೆಕ್ಟ್ ಹೋಗ್ಬೇಕು ಸರ್ ಅಷ್ಟೇ. ಈಗ ನೋಡಿ, ನಾನು ಈ ಸೋಲಂಗೇರಿ ಬರ್ದಲ್ಲಿ ಆರ್ಚಿಪೇಟೆ ಅಲ್ಲಿ ಪೊಲೀಸ್ ಸ್ಟೇಷನ್ ಅಲ್ಲಿ ಒಬ್ಬ ಸ್ನೇಹಿತ ಮಾಡ್ಕೊಂಡ್ಬಿಟ್ಟಿದೀವಿ, ಎಸ್ ಎ ಅವನು ಫ್ರೆಂಡ್ ಮಾಡ್ಕೊಂಡ್ಬಿಟ್ಟಿದೀವಿ. ಆ ಏರಿಯಾದಲ್ಲಿ ನಮ್ಗೆ ಏನೋ ತೊಂದರೆ ಆದ್ರೆ ಅವನೇ ಕರೆಸ್ಕೊಳ್ತಾನೆ ಪೊಲೀಸ್ ಸ್ಟೇಷನ್ಗೆ. ಲೋಕಲಲ್ಲೇ ಹೋಗಿ ಯಾರಾದ್ರೂ ಎಸ್ ಐನ ಹಿಡ್ಕೊಂಡು ನೀವು ವ್ಯವಹಾರ ಮಾಡ್ಕೋಬೇಕಷ್ಟೆ. ಅವನಿಗೆ 1,000 ಹೋದ್ರೆ ಹೋಗಿ ಅಂದ್ಬಿಟ್ಟು ಈ ವ್ಯವಹಾರ ಮಾಡ್ಕೊಂಡು ಕರ್ಕೊಂಡು ಅಲ್ಲ ಸರ್. ಅವರು ನೋಡಿ ಸರ್, ನೀವು ಆ ಲೋಕಲಲ್ಲಿ ಯಾರು ದುಡ್ಡು ಕೊಟ್ಟಿದ್ದೀರಾ, ಎಲ್ಲಿ ದುಡ್ಡು ಕೊಟ್ಟಿದ್ದೀರಾ? ಆ ಲೋಕಲಲ್ಲಿ ಇವ್ರು ತಮಿಳ್ನಾಡಿನಲ್ಲಿ ಏನು ಅಂದ್ರೆ, ಒಂದೊಂದು ಊರಿಗೆ ಒಬ್ಬೊಬ್ಬ ಲೀಡರ್ ಇರ್ತಾನೆ. ಆ ಲೋಕಲ್ ಲೀಡರ್ ನಡೀಬೇಕು, ಇಲ್ಲ ಪೊಲೀಸ್ ಸ್ಟೇಷನ್ ಅಲ್ಲಿ ಅಲ್ಲಿ ರೆಡಿ ಮಾಡಿಕೊಂಡು ಪೊಲೀಸ್ ಸರ್ಕಲ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟರ್ ನ ಸಬ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟರ್ ರೆಡಿ ಮಾಡಿಕೊಂಡು ಇವ್ರ ಮೇಲೆ ಕಂಪ್ಲೇಂಟ್ ಕೊಟ್ಟು ಹಿಡಿಬೇಕಷ್ಟೇ.
ಅದು ಏನ್ ಮಾಡೋಣ ಏನ್ ಕಥೆನೋ ಇವಾಗ ಹೋಗಾಡತ್ರ
ಇಲ್ಲ ಸರ್. ನೀವು ಲೋಕಲ್ ಅಲ್ಲಿ ಹೋಗ್ಬಿಟ್ಟು ಸರ್ ಕಾವೇರಿಪಟ್ಟಣಂ ಪೊಲೀಸ್ ಸ್ಟೇಷನ್ ಅಲ್ಲಿ ಕಂಪ್ಲೇಂಟ್ ಕೊಟ್ರೆ ಈ ತರ ನಮಗೆ ಕೆಲ್ಸಕ್ಕೆ ಬಂದು ಮೋಸ ಮಾಡಿದ್ದಾರೆ, ನಮ್ಮೇಲೇನ ಕಂಪ್ಲೇಂಟ್ ಇದ್ರೆ ಕೇಳಿ ಅವ್ರನ್ನ ಏನ್ ತೊಂದರೆ ಕೊಟ್ಟಿಲ್ಲ ಅವ್ರಿಗೆ ಅಂತ ಹೇಳ್ಬಿಟ್ಟು ಅಲ್ಲಿ ಲೋಕಲ್ ಲೀಡರ್ ನಿಂತ್ಕೊಂಡ್ರೆ ಅದ್ರ ಪ್ರಶ್ನೆ ಬರುತ್ತಿಲ್ಲ, ಪ್ರಶ್ನೆ ಬರುತ್ತಿಲ್ಲ. ಹಾಳು ಓಡ್ಕೊಡ್ರ ಅನ್ನೋ ಪ್ರಶ್ನೆ ಬರುತ್ತಿಲ್ಲ.
ಪಾತಲೆ
ಪಾತಕ್ರ ಅಲ್ಲ ಒಂದು ಪ್ರಶ್ನೆ ಬರುತ್ತಿಲ್ಲ.
ವಾಚ್ಮನ್ ಇಕ್ಕೋದು ಒಂದು ಒಳ್ಳೇದು ಮನೆ ಒಳಗಡೆ
ಸರ್. ಈಗ ನಮ್ಮಕ್ಕೆಲ್ಲ ಇಂದು ಲೋಕಲ್ ಅವರು ಹಾಳು ಓಡ್ಕೊಟ್ಟಿಲ್ಲ, ನಗಣಿ ಕೊಟ್ಟಕ್ ಬೇಕಾವ ಹಂಗೆ ನಮ್ಮ ಫ್ರೆಂಡ್ ಸರ್ಕಲ್ ಎಲ್ಲ ಇರ್ತದೆ, ಅರ್ಸಲ್ವಾದ ಫ್ರೆಂಡ್ ಸರ್ಕಲ್ ಇರ್ತದೆ. ಇವ್ ಫೋನ್ ಎಲ್ಲ ಹಂಗೆ ತಾಪವನು ಅವ್ರೇನು ಫೋನ್ ಕೊಂಡ್ರೆ ಗಡ್ಡಿ ಕೊಂಡಿಡಿರೋ ಕೇಡಿಯಮ್ಮ ಎಪ್ಪಡಿ ಪುಡ್ಜಿಗನ ವಾಸರಣ ಪುಡ್ಜಿಗನ ವರ ನಾಲ್ ಹೊಡ್ರ ಹಿಂಗೆ ಪ್ರಶ್ನೆ ಅವರು ತಮಿಳ್ನಾಡು ಆಳಂಗ ಏನಕ್ಕಿಟ್ಟೆ ಒಂದು ಓಡ್ ಪಾಯಿಂದ ಹಿಸ್ಟ್ರಿಯ ಇಲ್ಲ
ಕರ್ಕೊಂಬಂದ್ಬಿಟ್ಟು ನಿಮ್ ಮನೇಲಿ ನೀವು ಇದ್ರೆ ಅವ್ರು ಇರೋದಿಲ್ಲ, ಅರ್ಥ ಆಯ್ತಾ? ಅವ್ರ ಮೇಲೆ ಒಂದ್ ರೈಟರ್ನ ನಮ್ಮ ರೈಟರ್ ಮಡಿಗೆ ನಾವಂತ ಇಲ್ಲಿ ಮನೆ ಕಟ್ಕೊಂಡ್ಬಿಟ್ಟಿವಿ ಆಯ್ತಾ? ರಾತ್ರಿ ಹೊತ್ತಲ್ಲ
ಇರಬೇಕು
ಮಾಡ್ಕೊಂಡ್ಬಿಟ್ಟಿದೀವಿ
ನಮ್ಮ ಒಂದು ನಮ್ಮ ಕಾಸಿಗೆ ನಾನಾ ಪೊರಪು ಇವ್ಗಳಿಗೆ ಅವ್ನ ಏದಾಟ ಆಚಿನಾ ನಾನು ನಮ್ಮ
ಯಾರನ್ನ ಸರ್ ನೀವು ಅಲ್ಲಿಂದ ಕರ್ಕೊಂಡ್ಬಂದ್ಬಿಟ್ಟು
ಒಂದು ವಾಚ್ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಮಾಡಿಕೊಡಿ,
ಶೆಡ್ ಅಲ್ಲಿ ಒಂದು ವಾಚ್ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಇಟ್ಕೊಳ್ಳಿ ನೈಟ್ ಅಲ್ಲಿ, ಆ ಜವಾಬ್ದಾರಿ ನೋಡ್ಕೊಳ್ಳಕ್ ಒಬ್ಬ ಮೇಸ್ತ್ರಿ ಇಟ್ಕೊಳ್ಳಿ.
ರಾತ್ರಿ ಆದ್ರೆ ಯಾರನ್ನ ವಾಚ್ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಆಸೆ ಹೋಗ್ಬಿಟ್ಬಿಟ್ಟು
ಎರಡು ಹೌದು
ಇಲ್ಲಿದ್ರೆ ಕಂಟ್ರೋಲ್ ಮಾಡಕ್ ಆಗೋದಿಲ್ಲ. ನೀನು ಬೈಕೋಬೇಡ, ನಿಮ್ಮೆಲ್ಲರೂ ಪಕ್ಕದಲ್ಲಿ ಮರ್ಕೊಂಡ್ಬಿಟ್ರೆ ಹೋಗಿ ದುಡ್ಡು ಸಂಪಾದನೆ ಮಾಡಕ್ ಆಗೋದಿಲ್ಲ. ಇಲ್ಲ, ನಾವೊಂದು ರೂಮ್ ಕಟ್ಕೊಂಡು ಒಂದು ವಾಚ್ಮ್ಯಾನ್
ಮಾಡ್ಕೋಬೇಕು.
ನಾವ ಅವ್ರ ಕೊಟ್ಟಿದ್ದೀವಿ, ಅವ್ರ ವಾಚ್ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಮುದುಕನ್ನು ಓಪನ್ ಮಾಡ್ಕೊಂಡಿದ್ವಿ. ನಮ್ಗೆ ಯಾರು ಓಡೋ ತರ ಏನ್ ಡೌಟ್ ಇರ್ತಾರೆ ನೋಡ, ಅವ್ರನ್ನ ತಂದು ಪಡತಾಳಿಯಲ್ಲಿ ಮರಸ್ಕೊಂಡು ಬಿಡ್ತೀನಿ. ವಾಚ್ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ನನ್ನ ಮಗಳು ಕುಂತಾಳೆ ನೋಡು, ಅದಕ್ಕೆ ಕುಂತಿಸ್ಬಿಡ್ತೀನಿ. ನಮ್ಗೆ ಯಾರು ಡೌಟ್ ಅವ್ರೆ ನೋಡು ಅವ್ರನ್ನ. ನಾನು ಸತ್ತು ಆದ್ರೆ ನನ್ನ ಮಗನ್ ಕೂಡ ಮಾಡಕ್ಕಾಗುತ್ತೆ.
Basically what she ended with saying was that even if they go to the toilet, the watchman will follow them. This is an undercover video that was taken before we raided a facility, and it is so clear why we must have such evidence, because the owner is boasting about his connections with the policeman, how he paid him off, and no one can escape from his brick kiln, because even if they do, all he has to do is call them, the policeman, and the police will find the slave and bring him back. And he boasts about his political connections. And so, you know, the system that should be working for the poor is not working for the poor. But in the 5 years that we have worked, I know that we have made a difference in the region. The officials today know what they should do when someone comes to them for rescue. When we started, they did not know the procedure because they had never rescued slaves before. And with convictions and accountability, we have seen the labor practices change. Casework has taught us where the loopholes are, and we know that a public demand from people like you will definitely make a difference. So what can you do? And I've just listed out a few simple things that I think you can be involved in, and there is so much more, but this is from my mind and I've just listed. Get informed. Read publications, check IJM website or any website that talks about slavery. Get involved. Spread the word. Get people talking. Start discussions with your friends. Blog. Social networking, Facebook, Orkut, these are big things, you know. Across the world, everyone uses it. Write to your government officials. Tell them your ideas and tell them how you strongly feel about this issue. Buy fairly traded group, the goods, and we had two people here present, traders one as well as TBN yesterday. This helps guarantee that the workers are not exploited. Give money to charities. There are many agencies working to combat modern forms of slavery. Give your time. Think about volunteering here or overseas through an organization such as IJM. The famous Irish orator, Edmund Burke, and this is one of my favorite quotes, said that all that is necessary for evil to triumph is that good men do nothing. Some good people do nothing because they feel their small individual contribution cannot change things. Burke also addressed this issue when he stated, "No one could make a greater mistake than he who did nothing because he could only do a little." A ship in the harbor is safe, but that is not what ships are made for. And Gary always says, we are called to be brave and not to be safe. Every day I work alongside men and women who chose careers of bravery rather than safety. And we are seeing the results, and I believe we can change this system that exists. God is the author and finisher of our faith, and I'm praying that God would increase the faith in all of us, in the people across the world, to believe that slavery can be eradicated in this generation. I hope that the demand that you create would force governments to take serious notice of their slackness and combat slavery. Thank you for your time. There is a lot to cover. I know it's impossible to cover it here, but there are more detailed questions that I would be answering. Questions like, is slavery the same today as it was in the past? What happens to a slave once he is returned to his village? How does he cope with freedom? And I'll be talking about these in the plenary sessions, in the breakout sessions. So thank you very much.